Beers and Tears would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the land from which we conduct this podcast, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We recognise their continued connection to the land and waterways and sky of this beautiful place, and we pay our respects to elders past and present, and extend that respect to all First Nations people present today, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. Hello everyone, welcome back to Beers and Tears. Today I'm joined with Good Sniff.
Hi guys,
how are you?
Hello. How's it going?
Do you guys want to quickly introduce yourselves, what you guys do in the band, why you decided to make music and be in Good Sniff?
Hi, I'm Lockie. I drum and sing in our band. And this is my friend over here.
Who are you? Yeah. I'm Elias. I'm the bass player / backup vocals.
Cool. And Good Sniff. How'd you guys meet? And why did you guys decide to form Good Sniff and start releasing music and playing gigs and doing all that?
We met in year nine, probably.
Yeah, year nine.
And then in the music rooms, we sort of just got together and just jammed it, and then ever since then, just making music and living it up. But yeah, just we both fell in love with it, and now it's just all we do.
Sweet.
That's it. Yeah.
And you have a new track that just came out called Theft on Pig Street. Yeah, it's kind of like based off like crime surf films.
Yeah.
Where did this come from?
Yeah, this is a lucky question.
When I was little, mum put on Point Break and I was shit scared because it was like guns and bullets and crime. People robbing banks, and I was like, I don't like this. And then I watched it again with mum like a year ago and I was like, damn.
Still scared.
Sick. Still a little bit scared, yeah. But
I love doing that. I love watching movies that you thought were like, that you'd never got as a kid. And then you rewatch them and you're like, wait, this is actually good.
Yeah. There's still so many movies I need to catch up on. Like Drop Dead Fred. Oh, no.
That's literally what I was thinking. Drop Dead Fred hits so different when you're older.
The face, like he goes through this doggy door and his face stretches or some shit. And I haven't like been able to process that.
Wait, so have you seen Drop Dead Fred again since you were a kid?
No, it's on my waiting list.
Oh, it's a good new watch.
Yeah.
I cried.
It's in like continuous.
Cried?
Yeah, I cried. I don't know, it was kind of wholesome, like once you watch it again, it was like kind of a nice vibe.
Yeah.
So I recommend.
It might fill that something that I'm missing. It might just fill that spot. Mm. I think I might need to watch it.
Yeah, movie night tonight.
Yeah, so I'll have a movie night. Yeah, sick.
What are kind of your favourite sort of like surf crime films or favourite films, just generally speaking?
We like Lords of Dogtown, the skating one. But I think Point Break, the new one's not that good. It's a bit too like action.
Mm. You know?
But I think like the original Point Break's just classic, sick. But those are like the only two movies that I've sort of seen with like surf crime. But we'll find more, I reckon.
Sick.
What about, is it Breath?
Yeah.
Is it Breath? Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
That's a solid good film. Movie.
Oh, that's fucking have unreal.
Have you seen the movie, what's it called? Chasing Mavericks?
No.
Is that you should watch it.
The big wave. Like
Oh, yeah, I think I have actually. Yeah.
Good movie. It's my sister's favourite movie.
Hell yeah.
It's so good.
Don't get those big waves.
Nah.
Crazy.
But he ended up being like this full, like free diver.
Mm.
Yeah, cool story.
Sick.
Anyway, yeah, recommend that watch. And what was kind of like the production and sonic process of putting this track together?
Oh,
songwriting, just the general how it sounds vibe.
We definitely wanted it to sound raw and like because the song's based in like 70s, 80s, 90s, like early as era. We were like, well, recordings and production back then were super raw. So we sort of wanted it to be like that. But when we released our first album at the start of the year, we had like heaps of riffs and sections left over. So we were like, sort of just came back to it and then, yeah, jammed it out. And that was the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the song kind of like goes into, I don't know, like a new era for you guys in terms of like your old stuff kind of, even in the last album, was like more fun, upbeat.
Mm.
Yeah.
This song's a bit more like serious.
Yeah.
Good sniff of gone serious.
Yeah.
No more meat pies.
Yeah.
No more bongs.
No more bongs, meat pies. Yeah.
What inspired the transition?
I think our change in music taste, like influences and stuff. I think we just started listening to heaps of different bands.
Like what?
Turnstile.
Cool.
Big one for Lockie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, obsessed.
I know it's a weird obsession. It's like a lot.
No, they're good though. Amazing. They're good. Very talented people.
Mum and dad listen to heaps of like grunge and all that 90s alternative stuff. So sort of just dug into that a bit more. And
Early Foo Fighters as well.
Early Fooies.
Yeah.
It's a big influence on like the whole new sound.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Keeps changing, I reckon. Music tastes. It's never ending.
How was it kind of like creating something a little bit more, I don't know, like mature? I don't know if I want to use the word mature, but like, yeah, how was it kind of putting that out as a different sort of vibe? It still got a good sniff sound to it.
Yeah. Took longer lyrically to write because usually like we can just write piss take lyrics in like 20 minutes and we're like, yeah, done, send it off. But this one was like, may as well actually like try sit down and write some lyrics that have a story or something to it. But yeah, I don't know. Keeps you busy, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. And you released an album not too long ago as well called Bad News. How was that putting together? It was your first album. So how was it putting together an album?
Stressful.
Yeah.
How so?
Oh, just like, I think we kept putting it off and we just kind of ran out of time and then we started rushing it towards the end. So like, there's probably things that we could improve on for the next album, which is I think it's a good thing because it's like a big learning curve for the next album. What not to do and what to do and not rush.
Yeah.
So
what are some things that you would do differently?
Spend more time on production.
Yeah.
I think we originally wanted it to be like real raw, like punk album, but I think listening back to it now, we definitely want it like a bit more clean cut and all that sort of stuff. But it suits the music, I reckon. It's a bit more punky and Aussie shed rock sort of stuff, so we're still happy with it.
It's all recorded in Lockie's shed, so
It suits the vibe for that album. Yeah. Well, but I think for this new stuff, it's with this whole sound change and stuff. I think a different production style's needed for sure instead of the raw sort of stuff.
But, yeah, 100%.
How was this song kind of? Was this song still done in your shed?
Yeah, so. We basically like jam out the song or like I'll have like a demo of it. Me and Elias will like learn it together and like sort of structure it and then we'll go back and like just re-record on top of it and then either I'll mix it or we'll get our mate Theo to do it. But having a crack at this one, this whole new
album. Lucky.
But yeah, it's good fun. Love it. Yeah.
What's your dynamic like between the two of you in terms of like creating a song? How does it generally go down?
I don't know. Usually one of us will come up with a riff and then we'll jam it. And if there's something missing, we'll figure it out. Usually we write and record at the same time.
Yeah.
So we sort of just structure it out as we go. But I don't know. We don't really have like a process.
Yeah.
We sort of just.
Very laid back.
Yeah, sort of just figure it out as we go. And then when everything's sounding good and we're happy with it, we'll just be like, sweet, done, wrap it up.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Get a mask.
Good fun. Yeah,
get a mask. Well, it's kind of a good vibe because you're not stewing on it for too long.
Yeah, Yeah.
It's not like if you listen to it too many times, I feel like it just sounds like it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it's just, it doesn't even sound real. And you're like, this is like, I don't even know. It, you don't, you have zero opinion on it. Because you're like, I don't even know what this sounds like anymore.
Oh, even like when we release a song, so many, like imagine Lockie mixing it. Man, it's all you have to listen to it. Oh. So.
But then like, I think it's, that shows like relief too, that like you just know it's out and like you can't touch it unless
you know, it's done.
Like some massive band and you see those albums like remastered. Mm. But like once the moment it's out, like got nothing else to do. Just leave it. Don't touch it. That's how it is.
Do you like the DIY vibe?
Yeah. I love it. I don't, I'm not a fan of like the big like process of album making. Just get it done how you want. Just do what you want.
You got a bit more creative. What's the word?
Freedom.
Yeah. Freedom.
Yeah. Everyone that we've worked with to like record, like our mate Theo, big help because he knows that we just love to be free with it. And like if he's got ideas, he'll just throw them in there, send it to us. We're like, sick, solid. This is what we want. But I think now that I've sort of like taken over with mixing and recording, like, we sort of just both agree on like, yeah, that needs to be there. That needs to be there. It sounds there, whatever. Mm. But I don't know. I just love like if it's your song, you should decide how it should sound. Like,
cool.
Instead of being in like a studio, running out of like studio time, spending money. Yeah.
It does help a lot.
Yeah.
It's cheaper.
Yeah.
Record in the shed.
Definitely.
The
bedroom. Yep.
I'm interested to know, do you guys, like, was putting out an album like a big impactful moment for you? Like, are you guys big album listeners? Or was it kind of just like, cool, we're just going to do an album. It's just like the thing that you do.
I think, well, we wanted to do an album because, like, heaps of people and bands aren't doing albums anymore. Like, it's just like heaps of singles and EPs. So we're like,
we'll
just do something different. But I think when we're making it, like the first couple of songs were like, screw it, let's just do an album. Like we had heaps of riffs and songs left over. We sort of just piled them all together and we're like, screw it, just go for it. But yeah, it's definitely, I enjoy making albums more than just like the one song or like an EP. I think like you feel better after it. You're like, damn.
Bit of an achievement.
Yeah. Big process.
Do you have a like a favorite album at the moment, or just of all time, that you're like, I would have loved to like one day create an album that's that good?
Oh, so many.
What's the Queen of the Stone Age? What's that one called?
All of them.
Like the pink.
No, one, the red one. On it. Oh. The full red one.
Oh, songs for the
death. Yeah, that's the one. I think that's my favorite album at the moment.
It's a great album. I think for me, it's definitely Turnstile. Not their new one. The Time and Space one. Okay. The yellow one. It's great. Solid album. Yeah.
Okay. Sick. And you guys have played many of shows and like been able to share stages with bands like Waves and Skegs and Ruby Fields. What has been like a memorable gig moment for you guys?
Ooh. I think we can both agree the Skeg shows have been pretty unreal. And they, I think the best part about it is like they're just sort of just like real good dudes. Like, took care of us and made sure that we're comfortable and nervous for all the shows. And
well, even the bowl gig that was,
because
we got told 2 days before we're actually playing. And that was super.
We're real young and we're sort of freaking out because obviously seeing a band as big as Skegs, you're like, whoa, now we're playing with them. And it was like, we're just freaking out.
Because we originally bought tickets to go.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There's been like 10 of us going. And then, 2 days before, ended up playing it. So that was
that's so good.
Yeah.
What a moment.
It's stressful.
It was scary. But, they were real supportive as well.
Yeah.
Like, they could tell that we were super nervous and they sort of were just like, chill out, like, it's going to be fine. And then played it and it was unreal.
Yeah.
But I think all of our shows are pretty fun. Like, we just love playing. It doesn't matter what the crowd's like, doesn't matter who's there. We just want to get on stage and play.
Yeah.
That's the funnest bit.
Cool. Have you ever had a horror story go down where it's just like gone a bit to shit?
Oh, the fucking Lulee show for Rage.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Fuck. We played this surf premiere and we had three back-to-back shows, but like we played the Waves gig the night before and we had this surf premiere and
And Grogan's the next morning.
Yeah, and we played a Grogan's gig the next morning and we were just like wrecked, but we rocked up, sound checked, everything was working real fine. Surf premiere played and like everyone got on the stage like to like get a better view of the TV. And then I was like, fuck, someone's going to like click something because all of our stuff's just like spread out. And then we like go to like count in and start playing.
This is as soon as the video stopped playing, though.
Yeah.
Like as soon as it stopped playing and it just didn't work.
Yeah. Whole setup just was nothing.
Yeah.
Just like, because usually he splits like bass amp, guitar amp, so there's like two amps going, heaps of pedals, but half of it just didn't work. So, oh well.
What did you do?
We just played really raw, just through a bass amp.
Yeah, just bass amps.
It was a bit, yeah, it was sad because we really were like looking forward to playing that show like properly and then pretty bummed.
Yeah, and I cracked the shits.
Yeah.
Went back to Bridget's and like I was like, I've got to fucking sort out this pedal board because we've got a gig tomorrow.
And then shout outs Quinn. How do you speak? I forgot how to speak. Shout outs Quinn from Grogan's for fixing our pedal board.
Oh, yeah. What a legend.
Next morning. Yep.
He's a handyman in that regard.
Oh, yep.
Like, and then his pedal board ended up shitting itself like during the gig and we're like, oh, fuck.
It was a downtime for the pedal boards.
Yeah. Oh, hope that never happens again. We were so stressed. Fucked. It was fucked up.
At least you're prepared now.
Yeah.
It's happened once.
See our pedal board case. It's just like extra leads and batteries and Velcro for some reason.
Everything that can go wrong. It's like there's a spare.
Yeah.
Or somewhat.
That's good. Fully prepped.
Yeah.
Well, also, you're playing Lulee again. Mm. Have you played there again since the debacle?
No.
Oh, no. Sorry to bring it up. Okay. So you're playing there again.
Yeah.
Are we keen? Like, what is a good sniff? What are we expecting from this show?
Oh, everything to run smoothly, hopefully.
Yeah.
No
one's allowed on the stage.
Yeah.
No one fucking walking on the stage.
Yeah. Might have to make some posters for that.
Nah,
fuck off stage. Don't touch your shit. Nah, it'll be fun though. We're
pumped.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, so it's a headline show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is sick.
Yeah.
For this new single.
Yeah.
What does a good sniff show look like?
Oh.
For someone who's never seen Good Sniff before, what can they expect when they walk through the door?
Loud.
Yeah.
Loud.
Fucking pumping crowd.
Hopefully. We try amp it up a bit, but we get pretty nervous. So we sort of just sit there and shut up and play our songs. But I don't know. The crowd likes it, I hope.
Two nervous guys playing rock and roll.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Be true, would you?
You kind of do.
It's definitely loud. I think that's the only way I can describe it. It's roaring. There you go.
All fast music.
Yeah, roaring fast music. Yep.
Sick. And you'll be playing the new track?
Yes.
Along with others?
Hopefully.
First time. We haven't played it live yet.
Fuck, last time we did a single launch, we actually nearly forgot to play the single.
Yeah.
It was pretty
funny. Okay, so we won't forget to play the single.
That's one thing we're not going
to
forget.
That's the other thing that we won't forget.
Cool.
Make sure we play.
We did it for an encore. We did this song.
Oh, yeah, because we walked off stage.
We didn't actually play the song.
And fucking our mates were like, you didn't play Bong Flu. And we were like, no, we weren't going to. And then we realized that, like, it was a single launch. And we're like, oh, fuck. So we
But that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's going to be a good show.
Been prepared.
Yeah.
We've lived and we've learnt from that show.
We had this set this like a month ago. So
So prepared.
So prepared now.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And if somebody had never heard your music before and they were scrolling on Spotify or something or other and they found Good Sniff's music, what are three of your songs that you would want them to listen to upon their first impression?
Ooh.
I'm going to say Theft on Peak Street.
Yeah.
Obviously a new one.
You can have a go.
Nah.
Nah.
Nah. Let Me Know.
Yeah, Let Me Know.
And Sniff City.
Yeah.
Those are my three.
Yeah.
They don't have to be your three, but.
Yeah. I reckon Theft on Peak Street, Have a Go. I reckon Hear Me Out as well. I reckon that's a good yeah. Got out of speak. I apologize.
You're doing great. And lucky for you, we've actually come to a conclusion now, so you don't have to speak anymore.
Damn.
So thanks for coming and chatting with me, guys.
Thanks for having us.
No worries.
Thank you.